Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and we are broadcasting from the Huntley Library, the recording studio, which is something brand new. We normally broadcast from our studio in Dyke Park, but they have this wonderful studio over here to take advantage of. So folks out there, you can book an appointment. The engineer here is Joe Claw, and we think you'll enjoy this beautiful building, this beautiful studio. We're having a special guest today, Dr. Barat from Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Barat is going to be the first of many episodes we're going to have about Northwestern Medicine, bringing you more information about the latest innovations and techniques that are being employed by the hospital. We want to welcome Dr. Barat to our show because this is the first time for him on 101.5 FM, the Huntley Community Radio Station. Dr. Barat, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you for having me, Ron, and what a beautiful library.
Well, you're quite welcome, Doc. So you've got some really unique techniques that you've been using, and I think it's time to share with the folks all the wonderful things you've been doing with your expertise.
Well, I, just by the way of introduction, I serve as the head of thoracic surgery program at Northwestern and the director of the Canning Thoracic Institute. So our focus has been taking care of patients in our community that have all sorts of problems in the lungs and other organs inside the chest cavity, like the food pipe and the airway and such. So I've been at Northwestern about 11 years. I've had the privilege of taking care of patients in multiple areas in the Chicago metropolitan area. Huntley and McHenry is now part of Northwestern. We started coming out here about 2.5-3 years ago, and it's really been interesting understanding the all the different lung conditions that the patients experience here. Our goal has been to provide not only the best care to all our communities, but also innovate, think outside the box, innovate, and then bring those innovative solutions close to home, wherever our patients are.
Doc, would you share with the folks during COVID, you did something very, very, very special during the COVID time that I think the folks would like to hear about?
Well, Chicago had the second case of COVID in the country. Often people don't know that. And Northwestern, given how broad it is and how extensive it has been, it has grown to become, we knew that we're going to get hit by COVID, and our patients are going to experience the severity of that illness. So we started thinking about ways to help those patients, learning from what happened in Europe. And one of the things that was very clear to us was it's going to be very, very, very prevalent. And at the time, we were hearing about patients getting COVID and very rapidly getting to the point of no return where their lungs would completely get damaged. They get on a ventilator and really the advanced form of life support. But despite that, the lungs were just pretty much melting away. So we developed a technique of through which we could safely take out those really damaged lungs in COVID-affected patients and put new lungs in them at a point where they were actively dying. So we ended up doing the first double lung transplant for a young lady in her 20s, June 5th, 2020, I still remember the day, and that ended up being successful, and we were able to help hundreds of patients after that and train lots of other centers across the globe that resulted in many successful transplants.
That's interesting because that was your first double lung transplant on a 20-year-old female.
Well, she was 28, and this was the first double lung transplant ever done in the United States for COVID.
So with your work and your surgery, what are some of the areas that you focus on when you're working with patients?
Yeah, so, well, Northwestern obviously is a very, has a very comprehensive, there's really nothing we don't treat. I will keep the discussion a little bit more pertinent to thoracic diseases, which essentially means conditions of the chest. And just because the lung conditions are the most common, lung diseases kill more people in the world than any other organ. Lung cancer is the biggest killer in the United States, both in men and women, in smokers and in non-smokers. So that's been a big focus of ours. We also take care of other types of lung conditions that result in patients not being able to breathe properly. So lung fibrosis and emphysema or any condition that results in just extensive lung damage.
You know, it's interesting because most people automatically figure that, well, you have a lung problem because you're a smoker, but that's not the case at all.
Yeah, well, if there's one thing I can suggest in this discussion, I can I would like to emphasize that that is absolutely not true. Most lung conditions don't happen in smoker. And I mean, certainly smoking is bad for the lungs, but whether it's cancer or other types of lung conditions, they are seen in non-smokers more commonly than smokers because there are just many different causes of that. In fact, even now, lung cancer, the historic perception that unless you smoke, you cannot get lung cancer is not true. We are seeing an explosion of lung cancer in young patients who've never smoked or who may have had passive smoking. New risk factors are being identified for lung cancer, like air pollution, radon, chemicals that are used in farmlands. Now there is speculation that things that we take for granted, like hairsprays, lipsticks, cosmetics, they may be have some cancer-producing compounds that can cause these kind of problems. So I think it's important for the communities to know that smoking is not the only reason why someone has would have lung conditions.
So if you do need a lung transplant, doctor, is there a long waiting list for that?
At Northwestern, we have the shortest wait time. Often patients get transplanted in less than a week. We are now the largest program in the United States. We actually started the program. It's going to be 10 years this year. We did the first lung transplant at Northwestern on Independence Day, 2014. So it's approaching 10 years this year, and we've also become the largest program in the country.
Well, that's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, 10 years have gone by. We're very fortunate. We have, like I said, the largest program. We take care of some of the sickest patients. We talked about COVID, but we've also done we've developed some new ways of doing lung transplant that have allowed us to extend this to patients, some of the most hopeless patients. For example, we are the only center in the world that can do lung transplants as a curative therapy for patients with stage 4 cancer who have lost all hope. There's a program that we launched called DREAM. I'm not going to go through the whole full form because it's a medical acronym, but it's appropriate because these patients have terminal cancer and they dream of a second life. So it just suffice to say that the term is appropriate. So the first patient that we transplanted through this is about 2.5 years out. He was on a ventilator on hospice and just a day or two from dying. He's 2.5 years out, living a normal life with no cancer in his body. We've done over 40 such transplants, and now we are attracting patients from all over the globe following the success of these patients. So we are very proud of the program, but we are also doing other things in the non-transplant arena to help our patients.
You know, for our listeners out there, you can't see it, but I can, the smile on a doctor's face that when he talks about this, he's enjoying and he's excited about what he's doing because there's an awfully large grin on his face that he's really excited about this. And by the way, Dr. Bratt, you've received numerous awards and honors, I believe, too.
Well, thank you for saying that. But I just feel I've been very fortunate to be with a team that's really passionate about caring for our patients, and we have an institution that allows us to do these kind of things. And more importantly, we have our patients' trust that that allows us to then innovate on the problems they have.
Well, you received an award from the American College of Surgeons, also the Young Physician Scientist Award in 2017. So you've got a few little badges that are, that you can pin on your chest because you've been awarded several things.
Well, again, you're very kind to say that. But I think for us, it's always been the awards and prizes are seeing these patients alive and doing well, particularly when they come to us with unsolvable problems. So it's, the problems that we deal with, they are mostly life or death situations. And these patients come to us often with really at the point that they have no other hope, and to be able to make a difference and solve their problem is our biggest prize.
What would be the early signs for someone to come and see you to indicate they do have a lung problem? Would it be shortness of breath? What are some of the things that would be identifiers for the people to think about?
Well, I would take it one step further, and I think let's talk about lung cancer, if I may, for a couple of minutes. So lung cancer, as I mentioned, it's the biggest oncologic or cancer-related deaths in both men and women, and it's definitely exploding even in patients who've not smoked or who've had minimal smoking or had, passive smoking before public smoking was banned. The problem with that is lung cancer is, because people, it doesn't cause symptoms, it presents at a point where it's already spread. So almost 70 to 80% of lung cancer has already spread at the time of initial diagnosis, when they're having symptoms of headaches and bone pain and loss of weight, because that indicates that the cancer is already spread. Because lungs are essentially like a sponge, right? Any problem that starts in the lung often does not cause a problem or symptom unless it's too late. So if we want to make a big difference in lung health, we have to start thinking about prevention and early detection even before the symptoms start. So for lung cancer, screening is the only way we can make a difference. Right now, we have a very robust lung cancer screening program. So patients who've had any type of smoking exposure, or they've had a friend or family member who's died of lung cancer, they really need to be thinking about getting themselves screened. It's a simple test that takes less than 10 seconds, has no needles, no pain, no medication, just come in and out. And it's a very simple thing that we can do. So that's number one. So anybody who's had cancer, lung cancer history, they really should think about it. Right now, that's the only way to mitigate the risk of that. And the other reason I say that is lung cancer treatment has evolved so much. Now, if we detect lung cancer early at Northwestern, we've designed a program called APLUS, A+. And with this program, we can take out the lung cancer if detected at the early stage, sparing the lung, with a minimally invasive technique in a manner that the patient goes home same day. It's so transformative. So it's a complete cure. If you miss it and it gets to stage four, we can still help patients. But at that point, it's mostly related to prolonging life and more like palliative care. So we want to try to cure this. So that's in the context of cancer. But in the context of non-cancer, certainly in patients who've had respiratory illnesses, anything in their family, they should seek out. And definitely if they're having symptoms, shortness of breath, cough, if they feel like they're not able to do day-to-day activities without really getting winded, certainly they should think about contact.
Well, we're all guilty of the fact that we say, oh, it's nothing, it'll go away, and we kind of put it off, but it's probably better to go and get it checked out. And when you talk about the way you check it, it's so simple that it's not needles, it's not a bunch of things you're going to be fearful of, that it's a very simple step to take to have yourself checked out and be sure that you'll be okay. I think that says a lot for a doc, and it makes you feel a lot better that it's not going to be something drastic. Oh, my God, what's happening? So that kind of identifies a little bit simpler for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I would add to that is, you know, I often ask this question from my patients, you know, about their cars or the, you know, trucks and so forth. And they're so passionate about their trucks and their cars. They're taking it for their oil change and service, you know, like a religion. And the cars and trucks can be replaced, right? Your body, you only get it once. And I feel like we take the body for granted. And we're not doing the servicing of our body that's needed. We're not taking those preventative measures. And unfortunately, you know, if you have a problem with your engine in the car, you can replace the car or the engine, you know. You can either prevent the lung problem or you're going to need a double lung transplant, which is a big deal.
That is so true. We do that. If there's a little dent in the car, we get it fixed. If we need a tire, we take care of it right away. And we don't hesitate. We get it taken care of. We need new brakes. You take care of it. So that is such a true analogy, Doc.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, the body is your most important asset, and I feel like we got to take, and lungs particularly, when it comes to lungs, right, they're your engine of the whole body. The amount of oxygen they can absorb, the amount of waste they can breathe out that the body's producing is, you know, plays a role in how well your body is performing. Oxygen is the key to life, and lungs provide that to the entire body. Every single cell in the body is dependent on that oxygen, which is provided by the lungs. So every little harm that goes to the lung will ultimately affect your body. So it's one of the most critical organs in the body that has to be taken very seriously. The other unique thing about lungs and why it becomes even more important to take the lungs is because lungs are the only organs in the body that are directly exposed to the external environment. So every air that every breath that we are taking and everything that we are breathing as part of that is going straight into the lungs. And it can affect the lungs. Your kidneys are protected in an environment. The heart is protected in a closed environment. Your liver is protected in a closed environment, but your lungs are directly interacting. So they are, the way the lungs evolved in humans, like in other species, they were actually a mechanism to sense harm and sense external environment. That was our sensor. That's how evolution has played out. So lungs are really crucial, and we have to really take an active part in lung health.
So when you do have lung transplant surgery, what's the recovery time generally, Doc? I know it'll be vary by person, but what's a general rule of thumb?
Yeah, so lung transplants, particularly double lung transplants, are generally considered to be the most complex procedure or treatment any hospital can perform anywhere in the world. So it's a big deal. And when the lungs fail, the patients are really disabled. And as I mentioned, since lungs provide the vital oxygen and, you know, other sources of just some molecules that are essential for life, when lungs start to fail, every part of the body becomes really weak. So now you're taking one of the most complex surgical procedure and performing it in a patient that is where the lungs are not just compromised, but the rest of the body is compromised. So it's a problem. So as a result of that, these patients do tend to stay for some time in the hospital. So it takes about 2 to 3 weeks of hospital stay. And then after that, often these patients have to get into a rehab center, and typically that requires 2 to 3 weeks. But it takes solid 3 to 6 months before patients are back living a normal life. Now, again, it depends on patient to patient, as you said, Ron. But that's what I would say as an average.
Well, that's really very interesting. And as you know, everyone's going to be different, but it's life-saving, if nothing else. And it's really great to have someone on staff with your talent in this area to be able to service those folks that are in need. And to thank you for the work that you're doing, and the time that you're put into, because you're very dedicated to your job. We can see that. And we want to thank you for that, Doc. We want to thank you for being here today, too, Dr. Barat. He's with Northwestern Medicine. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And remember, go to huntleyradio.com and click on shows, and you'll pick up Around Town. and you'll be able to listen to this show with Dr. Bharat, which will be one of many shows we'll be doing with Northwestern Medicine in the future. We want to thank everybody for listening today. We hope you all have a great day. Thank you so much.